Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Can I have my slide? Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm so encouraged this morning to witness the 12 who were baptized, and it shows to me that the miracles of conversions and obedience to our Lord is happening right here in our church. And each one of those candidates has a testimony which you can read in the wine press. Well, this morning we will take a break from the Yam Cha series. And next Sunday, Elder Yi Fong continues the series on how much can you drink on the subject of addiction. And as you know, addiction is a very relevant topic of today. So be sure to turn up and invite your friends too. My chairman's address will be in two parts. First part will be on this sermon, and then the other part will be at the congregational meeting later on. But first, let us look to God in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. Amen. This is not working. here we are. Well, the topic of my sermon is to address two items which came up from a church survey recently. Some months ago, you will remember over 200 of you, which is a significant number, participated in a church health survey. This survey was conducted by our former senior pastor, Pastor Soon Hock, who is himself a certified church consultant. Well, we will present the survey results at the congregational meeting, so do stay back afterwards for this meeting. But let me give you the conclusion of the survey. So this is what over 200 of our members say of the health of PJEFC. Well, PJEFC is a healthy church, but marginally unbalanced. Specifically in the area of prayer and evangelism. In the survey, they look at 15 components of a healthy church and prayer and evangelism. According to you, is a little bit low. So prayer and evangelism is what I want to speak to you on this morning. And we all know that prayers and evangelism, they go hand in hand. They go together, united. They cannot be separated. And many evangelistic and outreach efforts, their efforts are hampered through lack of prayers. We know this common saying, we know we should pray, but who of us pray as we should? And in this fallen world that we live in, the Bible tells us that doors are naturally closed to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us also that God can open them, and He opens them in response to our prayers. Oops, slide before, yeah. Oh, I missed the slide, never mind. So the key point to remember, that's right, yeah, I got the slide reversed, yeah. So the key point to remember of this morning's sermon is this: Jesus opens closed doors for the gospel in response to our prayers. Just to make sure you remember them, could you turn to your neighbor and tell him or her this statement? Can you do that? So I trust by the end of this sermon, you will remember this key point. Well, what I would like to do is to look at Scripture. We will look at Colossians, and just two verses that we will look at. And from there, we will identify three closed doors to the gospel. And then we will see how we can or who opens them. Afterwards, we will have some application, and then I will close in prayer. The text is Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, just two verses. Maybe we can read them together. Can we? At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Pray for us, Paul writes, that God may open to us a door for the word. Paul asks his Colossian friends to pray, and to pray in particularly for his evangelistic ministry. And Paul refers to certain closed doors which only God can open. And these doors will remain shut until God opens them in answer to prayers. Pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word. Now, this suggests that God may open these doors in answer to prayers. For without prayers, these doors will remain shut. They will remain bolted against us. And we know many evangelistic and outreach efforts are hampered through lack of prayers. So, what are these closed doors? And in John Stott's exposition of these verses, he suggests that there are three closed doors. The first door is the door of external opportunities. The second is the door of the disciple's mouth. And the third is the door of the hearer's minds and hearts. And all these doors, all of them, they need to be open for us to be effective in our outreach effort. So let us look at them one by one. First, the door of external opportunity. Pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I, Paul, am in prison. Now, Colossians is one of four so-called prison letters of Paul in Rome. And we read in the last chapter of Acts 28, that Paul stayed in his own accommodation for 2 years. But he was chained to a Roman soldier, so he had no freedom. He was no longer able to continue his missionary journeys. He was chained, he said, on account of the mystery of Christ. Now, the mystery of Christ is the gospel. And the gospel is the good news. And one good news is that in Jesus Christ, Jews and Gentiles, they are reconciled to one another in the body of Christ. Now, this teaching infuriated the Jews, because Paul preached that there is no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. So the Jews had him arrested, put him on trial, and condemned him to prison. So Paul was in prison on account of his faithfulness to the gospel. And being chained, he was no longer free. So he asked his Colossian friends to pray that God may open to him a door for the word. I wonder how would his Colossian friends or Paul himself would pray. If I'm sick, I will pray to be healed. If I'm in prison, I would pray to be free. Or perhaps they prayed that in spite of him being chained, that the door may in some way be opened for the word. Well, God answers his prayers, we know, in a way that he did not expect. Because God kept him in chains for 2 years, all sorts of people came to visit him in Rome. And you can read that in the last two verses in the book of Acts. You read that Paul welcomed all who came to him. And Paul preached to them the kingdom of God openly and without any hindrance. So we see that God did open a door for the word, perhaps not in the way that he expected. Well, you remember Pastor Hari's testimony in July? Pastor Hari planted the first EFC church in Nepal. And Nepal is a Hindu nation. And in that nation, there is an anti-conversion law. And you could be thrown in jail if you are baptized there. So a lot of them get baptized here. Yeah? Pastor Hari was a Nepali worker who found Christ in Malaysia. And he shared that in Malaysia, Christians shared the gospel with him openly and without hindrances. God has opened the door of opportunity for the gospel to the Nepalis in Malaysia, in this country. And there's a huge number of them, 700,000 currently working here. Most of them are men, of course, and they have families. So the 700,000 would touch 2 million people in that nation. Now, we read in the Bible that this idea of open door for the gospel is a favorite metaphor of Paul. It's not just unique here in Colossians 4. It's a favorite metaphor of Paul. At the end of the his first missionary journey, when Paul went back to Syrian Antioch, and he reported what has happened to the local church, Paul told them how God has opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. Or during his third missionary journey, when he was in Ephesus, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 16 that a wide door of effective work has been opened to me. Later he writes in 2 Corinthians, in trials, the Lord has opened a door for him. Now, if God had not opened these doors, he would not have the opportunities to preach the gospel. So we ask ourselves, is today's situation any different from Paul's time? All over the world, there are many places with closed doors, and they won't be open until Christ opens them in answer to our prayers. Most of these closed doors, we know, are due to legal restrictions. Christians are forbidden to preach the gospel by law to a section of the population, we are well aware. In other places, there are legislation to prohibit not preaching, not conversion, but inducement to conversion, which is widely interpreted. So if you say, if you accept Christ as Savior, you receive forgiveness, you will receive eternal life, well, that could be regarded as a spiritual bribe, and you can be prosecuted. Other places, there is no law prohibiting evangelism, but Christians are under social political pressure. Christian students find that they fail their exams. Christian professionals find that their promotions are postponed for many years. And even in the so-called open countries, it is not easy to reach the schools or the media, for example. And what we need to do is pray. Pray that God will open a door for the word, that the gospel may get through, because Jesus Christ has opened these doors. You know, as a young believer, I lived with a retired missionary for 1 year. You've heard me testify this many times. And he discipled me in prayers. So every morning for over a year, we would pray for one country in alphabetical order. And we were using the book Operation World. So right at the beginning was the country of Albania. And during that time, we were reading that it was the first country in the world where all forms of religion was banned. And they were proud to tell people they are an atheist country. Well, of course, over the years, thousands have prayed to God to open to the doors in Albania. And if you go to Wikipedia today, today, the nation of Albania, the constitution provides for the freedom of religion. And God opened the closed doors to the gospel in response to prayers. So we ask ourselves, are there closed doors in your ministries? Are there closed doors in your workplace, in your community, or at home? You know, at the leaders' retreat recently, we identified a few closed doors, our church closed doors, such as, you know, the door to the Parents-Teacher Association meeting in the school, the door to the East Malaysian working nearby our church, and the door to know what kind of presence we should have in Saujana Putra, which is the place we are going to plant a new church, which we'll talk more about that at the congregational meeting. So what are your closed doors for the gospel? Well, you can certainly ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, and He will. And then you will pray earnestly to God that God may open these doors for you. Be patient, but persevere in your prayers, being open to His timing, and also be open to God to answer you, not in the way you expect, as we see in Paul. Well, that's the first closed door. Let's look at the second closed door. The second closed door we need to pray is the disciple's mouth. Your mouth and my mouth. Well, supposing that God opens the door, supposing the doors to the PTA is open, or to the Sabahans that are working nearby us, the doors are open. Well, even that is no use until a disciple, a courageous disciple, goes through these doors with an open mouth to proclaim the gospel. So Paul says in verse 4 that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Well, you know, in this verse, Paul doesn't actually use the metaphor of the open door, but he does so in Ephesians. And we know that Colossians and Ephesians, they are parallel letters. And scholars say that Paul wrote or he dictated them at the same time. So we see many, many similarities between these two letters. So in Ephesians 6:19, which is the exact parallel to Colossians 4, verse 4, Paul writes, "Pray also for me that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains." Now, how are the disciples, that's me and you, yeah, disciples of Christ, ought to speak? Well, it would be interesting to know the answers to this question. How are we to speak? Well, Paul gives two answers. And the first is that he wants to make the gospel clear as he ought to speak. We have to make the gospel clear. We are to speak with clarity, with vividness. And in order to do so, we have to have a clear understanding of the gospel. Then we are to speak it boldly or fearlessly. So clarity and courage are both needed. Clarity to speak simply, vividly, relevantly, and courage not to leave out the uncomfortable, therefore unpopular part of the good news. And what are these? The guilt of our sins. The fact that we cannot earn our salvation by anything we do, but it's a free gift. The judgment of God. The call to repentance. The call to live holy lives. The cost of discipleship. These are some of the uncomfortable parts of the gospel. And if we speak boldly, as we ought to speak, we will not leave these things out. And it's interesting for me to note that as I was meditating on this verse, that I realized that Paul was already a very seasoned missionary and evangelist when he was in prison. Yet, he was humble enough to ask for prayers. And simple prayer, pray for me that I may speak the gospel clearly and boldly. And this is Paul asking. And we need to imitate Paul's humility and ask for prayers too. Don't think we are so experienced in sharing the gospel that we don't need prayers. I think it is because that every person we witness to or share with is unique. And therefore, we need to pray for discernment to speak the appropriate words, to speak them clearly and boldly. I remember my first time sharing the gospel with a friend. I was a student then, yeah? So I was a young believer, and all I did was to share my testimony. You know, I tried to be brave as I shared, but inside I was really sweating. But I was praying quietly as I shared. Then a Bible verse popped up in my mind. And it was so appropriate to my friend. And these are some of the experiences you will have when you honor God by sharing your faith with your friends, praying all the time. And all of us can engage in sharing the gospel. We can pray for clarity and we pray for boldness. And don't despair if you are not a skilled evangelist like Reverend Alexa or Reverend Dickie. Not all of us are, but we can certainly share our testimonies, can't we? We can share how we meet Jesus. We can share how Jesus has changed our lives. We can invite them to church, to Alpha. The third closed door is the hearers' minds and hearts. Well, Paul does not refer to this third door here in Colossians 4, but he does it elsewhere. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul wrote that the minds of the unbelievers as being alienated and hostile. In Ephesians, Paul writes that the unbelievers' minds are darkened in their understanding, and he prayed that the eyes of their hearts may be enlightened. They are darkened until they become enlightened. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says that the unbeliever does not accept the things of the Spirit of God because they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And he says in 2 Corinthians that a veil, a curtain, lies over the minds of unbelievers, and the god of this age, the devil, has blinded their minds. So, what is this veil? What is this curtain of darkness or blindness over the eyes of unbelievers to keep them from seeing and understanding the truth? Well, we know there are many brilliant religious, atheists, and agnostic unbelievers. So it cannot be the functioning of their minds. The mind still functions even when the mind is darkened and there is a veil over their minds to accept the things of the Spirit of God. And John Stock said that the thickest of all the veil over people's mind is cultural prejudice. Cultural prejudice. You will remember the story of the two Jewish men on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. How Jesus came along and walked with these two men. And Jesus opened their minds. And as Jesus opened to them the scriptures, these two men saw things they never seen before. Why? Because of their Jewish prejudice. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" It is one of the cleverest tricks of the devil to mix religion with culture. At the time of Jesus, a Jew thinks he cannot be a Jew and be a Christian at the same time. He thinks he can't possibly become a Christian without ceasing to be a Jew. It does not enter his consciousness that he could become a Jewish Christian. And the devil has cleverly mixed the two up. And the devil holds people in bondage as a result. You think about this for a moment. Yeah? All of us are brought up in a particular culture. And at the heart of our upbringing, there is a religion, there is an ideology. If you are brought up in Christianity, you have a Christian culture. Many of us don't. There are others who absorb others' culture, other religious culture. And then in school, the culture of scientific secularism. I remember very youngly, I could not believe the Bible because it speaks of creation. I have the culture of evolution. And at the heart of that culture, there is a non-Christian ideology or religion. And so from childhood, we absorb all these values, the ideals, the beliefs, the convictions, the standards of that culture. And they become part of our mental framework. And most of us never examine these assumptions. We simply take them for granted. And then we share our assumptions with our families and with our social groups. And so if you challenge your assumptions, they will feel threatened, as I did, between evolution and creation. And to question this assumption is to question their identity, their loyalty to their families and social group to which they belong. Well, we know just too well some of these cultural prejudices in Malaysia, don't we? Yeah, very well, we live with them. Perhaps we hold certain prejudices ourselves as Chinese Christian in Malaysia. And I see stark difference when I visit East Malaysia. Only Christ can break through these cultural prejudices. And only Christ can open the door of our darkened minds to the things of the Spirit of God. And God will open them in response to prayer. So we pray. We pray and we pray and we pray. Well, let me quickly summarize, and then we will go to two applications. Have you got the three doors in your mind? Three closed doors? These doors have to be open in answer to prayers, yeah? Our little puny key cannot work, huh? They will be open for the gospel to go through. And before anybody receives the gospel, hear it, understand it, welcomes it, these three doors have to be open, and they are open in answer to prayers. The first is the external door of opportunities. The legal, the social constraints have to be removed. So continue to pray for our country. The second is the door of the disciples' mouth. Our mouth. Not the pastor's mouth, every member's mouth. We have to make the gospel clear, and we have to do it boldly, and we have to pray. And the third is the door of the hearers' minds and hearts, so that the gospel penetrates the thick layer of cultural prejudices. Prayer and evangelism goes hand in hand, together. Do we imagine that we are able to invade Satan's stronghold and rescue people from his clutches? Massive doors are closed against us, and our puny little keys cannot open them. The key, the master key, is in the hands of Jesus, and he opens them in answer to prayer. And we read in the Bible, what he opens, no one can shut. So, church, remember this. Jesus opens closed doors for the gospel in response to our prayers. Well, let's try this again, yeah? Can you please turn to the neighbor and tell him this as well? Can you do that? Oh, let's go to application. I just got two, very simple one. First application is that, as you already know, we are taking a special collection for the humanitarian aid for Gaza. And why do we do this? To help the suffering, of course. But we also pray that God may use this collection from Malaysian churches to open the doors of cultural prejudices. You can use this QR code, take a screenshot of this slide, and PJESC as a church, we will publicly donate this to Mercy Malaysia. The church is God's agent as peacemakers to elevate sufferings and to promote healing. And we pray that our contribution will help. So please be generous with your donation. Those who want to do now, I'll give you a moment to do so. Also on November the 12th, Dr. Anthony Loke will conduct a CED class here on Israel in the Bible and Israel today. They're different, huh? And we will discuss the current conflict. We know there are Christians on both sides. We understand that this is a contentious topic. But I believe that our members are mature enough to tackle tough conversations in a loving and mature manner. And PJEFC is a safe space to discuss such issue. So make it a point to attend this talk on November 12th. The second application point is this. Every member should pray to God to open doors for the gospel. And in so doing, we will make each one rich one a culture in PJEFC. Every one of us can share the gospel. And we must. It is good news. I tell my non-Christian friends, you keep asking me, why do I share the gospel every time I meet them? This is the owner of businesses. I say, it's good news. Why shouldn't I share good news with you? Why are we keeping the good news to ourselves? And we need to pray. We must be gripped by the urgency of our end times. We must pray to the Holy Spirit to reveal our closed doors to the gospel, whether in our ministry, in our workplace, our community, or at home. And as the Holy Spirit reveals this closed door, pray. Pray earnestly to God to open up opportunities. Pray to speak with clarity and boldness. Pray for your friends, your family members, that God may open their hearts and their minds. And I really pray that the culture of each one, reach one, it becomes a reality in this church. Because this is a very powerful culture. Some time ago, a pastor of a house church in China, he stayed with me. And he shared with me that in his house church in China, there are no strangers in the church. There are no strangers in all the church meetings. So I said, very interesting, you know, we are inviting strangers to come in. And there are no strangers in the church. Well, he said that, well, because in a house church, you cannot make public where your church is. So it's quite low profile and secret. And what do they do? Well, the members just bring their friends. The members just bring their family members to all these church meetings. So there are no strangers. And we know as a fact that house churches are multiplying in China and in many, many countries. In Iran right now, many, many people are turning to our Lord Jesus quietly. Well, I pray that in our next survey, maybe in 3 years' time, we would have straightened our imbalance in prayers and evangelism. And PJEFC can be a healthy church without imbalance. Let us pray. Lord, we humble ourselves now in prayer, longing that the doors will be open for the gospel into all sections of our societies, in our church here, in our ministry, in our workplace, in our community, in our homes. Lord Jesus, we picture you now. In your hand is a great key. It is a supernatural key. It is a key that can unlock any door. It's a master key. And we pray that you will unlock the door of the closed doors for the gospel. Open our mouths to speak clearly and boldly. Unlock the doors of our friends' minds and hearts. Unlock the door of opportunities in this church, in this country, in war-torn countries, and all over the world. Lord Jesus, open doors for the word. Stir us up to pray earnestly. Enable us to persevere in prayers. And we humbly pray for the glory of your great and worthy name. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.